Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good morning and welcome to the Parenting Aces radio show on Blog Talk Radio's UR Tennis Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and we have another great show for you today. We're going to be talking tennis tech with the CEO of Donnay Xenocore Technology, and it's going to be very interesting to hear what this racket manufacturer is doing to help prevent injury, especially in our young junior players. And so I'm looking very forward to having that discussion today. Before I bring today's guests on the line, though, I just want to kind of give you guys a little bit of info on some stuff that's going on over at ParentingAces.com. For those who haven't checked out the website this in the last few days, I guess, I encourage you to pop over to ParentingAces.com. I am in the midst of a 21-day clean eating challenge with my husband and my daughter, and I'm chronicling that on the site mainly as a follow-up to last week's Parenting Aces podcast with Michael Farrington, where we were talking about nutrition for junior athletes. And this just seemed like a natural progression from that podcast to kind of share with y'all what my family is doing in terms of nutrition and clean eating and exercise and the effect it's having on me. And kind of an exciting aside to that is the Huffington Post has picked up the series as well. So Huffington Post is publishing my daily articles on our challenge, and they're on ParentingAces.com as well. So I hope you'll follow along. Also wanted to let you know that I posted a new article by Coach Todd Whittem yesterday. I've got another one that Coach Whittem sent me this morning that hopefully will go online later this afternoon if I get my act together. So please do check those out as well. Coach Todd Whittem writes incredibly informative articles for Parenting Aces. He's so gracious to share that information with us. And I think it's important, especially those of you with younger players, to take a look at what he writes and take his advice to heart. So anyway, without any further delay, let me bring on today's guest. We have with us Jerry Cho, who is the CEO of Donnay, and Richard Bowie, who is working with Jerry and with Donnay on the Xenocore technology. And I'm just so thrilled to have them with us. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining Parenting Aces and sharing your time with us today.
Glad to be here.
Yes, thank you for having us, Lisa.
So before we jump into the show, Jerry, I would love to just let you give our listeners a little bit of background on who you are and how you came to be at Donnay.
I am not a tennis player by trade. My background is in technology and legal technology and patents and trademarks. But I was able to develop a technology that was intended to curb the number of injuries in the sport, particularly arm injuries, which I thought was curbing the game and stagnating in some degree, and to come up with a technology to dampen vibration and to create longevity for the sport and for our players and particularly our children. I have a 12-year-old who's an active tennis player, and I also feared that she would not be able to serve after 11 years old. And so yeah, I kind of made it my mission to, you know, try to come up with a technology and a product that would do some good in tennis and good for our children.
Fantastic. And Richard, why don't you give us a little bit of background on your role here?
I recently got involved with the Donnie Azene Corps by chance. Jerry and I got a little acquainted this summer at the U.S. Open while he was approaching some players. And, you know, I really kind of fell in love with the technology and the potential of the technology. You know, the racket is we all mention the technology, but in essence, it's the only solid core racket that's really on the market. And it does offer some added dampening effect and, you know, preventive for injuries. So I pretty much have been assisting Jerry a little bit on the marketing approach and giving my professional experience with coaching, because I'm a coach by trade and with a bit of marketing background. And I've just been able to kind of give my insights and help Jerry in the redirection of the brand. And I suggested to him that this would be a good opportunity to speak out, reach the parents, and kind of inform them and educate them about other alternatives other than the big three out there, which are highly visible by the professional players. So we're here today.
That's fantastic. And I just, you know, as a point of disclosure, like many of my guests on the Parenting Aces show, I connected with these guys via Facebook, and, you know, there are a variety of tennis-related groups on Facebook and pages on Facebook in addition to, of course, Parenting Aces. And so Richard had reached out to me to introduce me to what's going on at Donnie and with the Zenicore technology. And so I'm just so happy that we were able to work out a date that would work for all of us. And I'm so appreciative again of you guys joining me today. So Jerry, you said you have a daughter who plays, and that was, you know, maybe part of the impetus behind the development of this new technology. If you wouldn't mind, maybe you can share more details on the Zenicore technology and what makes it so unique and, you know, why we parents should be paying attention.
Well, it is the first, it's a molding technology. It's a way to make carbon lighter, stronger, and more dampening, and also to make shapes that you couldn't make before. It actually has a lot of application outside of tennis as well in any fiber process. There are some, we're working also on, you know, some wind blade technology, something in the automotive area. So it goes well beyond tennis. But it is a very innovative molding technology which uses microencapsulated gas to mold carbon from the inside. All other carbon products, including tennis rackets, are either hollow, which means they're empty inside, they're just air injected, or they're put together by two halved cores, which are the way wind blades are made right now. So there hasn't been a real innovation in carbon molding, or substantial innovation, to be able to make multi-core or shapes that you couldn't make in the past. So with the versatility, we could make a separate head in the tennis racket that encloses the head, and then make a separate shaft. So actually, you see one racket, but inside there are multiple cores. That allows different characteristics, playing characteristics, if you want more power, if you want a bigger sweet spot, if you want more control. There's a lot more versatility than just the one empty tube, which is the way carbon rackets have been made from the beginning for the past 30 years. It's just one hollow tube that's bent into shape, and so there's and air injected, so there's not a lot of differentiation of the different rackets that have been out there. The only the primary differentiation is in marketing. You know, the paint job, the brand name that's put on there, but the underlying technology is pretty much unitary, and that goes for not just tennis, but bicycles and golf shafts and all other products that utilize carbon and fiberglass.
That's really interesting. And so how does that translate into a healthier type of equipment, especially for growing bodies?
Well, the the big difference between wooden rackets and the current carbon rackets is the dampening. And the reason is that and the reason why VeenCore acts similar to wood is that it is the underlying basis is a kind of foam. Wood is also a form of natural foam, and they both have high dampening effect versus something that is hollow and empty and light. More rackets are becoming lighter and lighter, and because of that, and because of the way the game has evolved into more power and more speed and more training, it's necessary to curb that with something that's going to be healthier for the arm and for the body.
If I may, maybe I could kind of be a little less techy in terms of the translation. Donnie and VeenCore recently established an independent system of kind of giving rockets a RSL rating. It's like a rocket shock level rating, meaning the rockets that are a little hollow tend to actually produce, transmit a bit more vibration and force to the arm. The more solid core frames, obviously dampen that effect, and as a result, less force is transmitted through the arm and less vibration is transmitted through the arm. So we have a system where we pretty much our independent system where we grade rackets from 0 to 10. And, I mean, for example, a Babel Up Pure Drive, I don't know if we say the name, but we in our independent studies, we kind of give that more of a 6 rating in terms of the amount of shock that the kids receive at impact. Compared to maybe our Formula line, which is a similar type of racket, which has a better dampening effect and has about a 3 rating because less force and vibration is transmitted through the racket. What Jerry's saying in terms of the technology with going from, graphite rackets and more into these modern technology rackets, I don't know exactly the structural makeup of Babolats or the new heads or Wilson. They always have new names, but most of these rackets that the consumers and the kids are playing with are actually hollow to kind of give it that lighter effect. So the VeenCore technology has actually managed to make a similar weighted racket and specs, but the structural integrity is that it's solid, which has been proven that wood rackets are better in the arm. A heavier racket, if you talk about physics, a heavier racket will absorb more of the impact versus lighter rackets. But we can offer the same effect with a lighter racket because our rackets are more solid. I hope that kind of clears it up and not sound so techy to the parents.
Yeah, that's very helpful. And it's interesting. Hang on one sec, Jerry. It's interesting to me because I remember when my son was younger and he was a huge Andy Roddick fan always and, wanted to play with Andy's racket. And all the kids were playing with Babolats at the time, and we started seeing a lot more arm injuries in these kids. And then coaches started recognizing that, hey, you need to be of a certain physical size and strength before you can manage the power that a Babolat racket's going to produce for you. And so then I think the other manufacturers kind of stepped up a little bit and took advantage of that. It's interesting to me that Donna has found a way through the Xenocore technology, and Jerry, kudos to you for this, to kind of marry the best of both worlds, right? You've got the lightness of a Babolat frame, for example, with still maintaining the power and the safety, if you will, and I'm using air quotes here, the safety of a wood racket.
Yes. In fact, Roddick and Pleisters and a lot of those the pure drive players, you know, actually did retire, you know, with shoulder problems. So you know, it's pretty well documented, although it's not well, you know, known because it's not the kind of thing that you know, manufacturers would want the public to know. But yes, there've been certain rackets have created shock and injury to certain parts of the arm. Certain, you know, some of them shoulder, some of them wrist, some of them elbow. Yes, it actually create, you know, your average shot, the studies creates or generates about 200 pounds of force on the arm, an average ground stroke. A hollow racket generates around 200 pounds of force. That's a tremendous amount of energy that's being transmitted from the racket. And, you know, if you do that repetitively hundreds of times a day, a thousand times a day, that's when, you know, you get to that point where you're going to stress the tendons. So the idea is to play well below that threshold. One way to do it is to just play less. The other way to do it is to, you know, reduce the shock and vibration, which is what we've managed to do, to reduce it by, the studies show around 60%, 60 to 70% of hollow beams. So on the average match, there's about 43,000 pounds of force that's being transmitted to the arm, versus 13,000 pounds of force with multi-core solid core rackets.
Very interesting. I don't know if either of you guys have had a chance to listen to our podcast with Dr. J. He is a sports medicine specialist here in Atlanta, and he's got a tennis-specific medical practice. And one of the things he does is evaluate strokes and movement to help eliminate or resolve injuries in players. And so, you know, at Parenting Ages, we've talked a lot about the importance of proper stroke development, getting the basics down with good coaching early on for these young players. But what's interesting in talking to you today is hearing that it's not just the stroke development, it's also the technology, the equipment that the player's using. And when you talk about vibration, like Richard was explaining, that's the force that is impacting directly on the player's arm, you know, that can over time, as you're both saying, cause these repetitive use injuries that can be simply avoided by changing the type of equipment that you're using. And strings are one way to do that, but the racket itself is another. So, Richard, maybe you can talk a little bit more about the specifics of choosing rackets for junior players and what parents should be aware of when they're out shopping for rackets?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, objectively speaking, I think that I don't know if there's enough information available to parents about maybe a best practice systems when purchasing rackets. I mean, very often, you know, the kids see a racket from one of the top players and they're excited about it, and they really go out. One of the common questions sometimes you get with very inexperienced players is, what racket should I get? I mean, fortunate for me that I'll probably guide or advise them on a little bit more detail, more than just the brand. More so, you know, you're looking at the length of the racket, depend on the kid's age. You're looking, obviously, on the weight. I'm a grams guy, so I mean, very often I see kids that are using rackets that some people say aren't too heavy, but with the way modern-day strokes are now and how violent these kids are swinging and the game becoming a little bit more angular, momentum, not so linear, and people have the argument of saying, oh, the heavier rackets are good, but I think everything's a little relative to the physical development of the child. I mean, I don't want to say an 11-year-old should be using one racket because we all know some 11-year-olds are 5'4" and some are, you know, 4'9". So that is something that parents need to take into account when purchasing rackets. I think the next factor is that is a common mistake is stringing. You know, some people get excited about, you know, getting into polyesters too early. And, you know, we all know polyesters was probably the most recent cause of a lot of injuries with kids kind of using it. And the stiffness that it, the added stiffness that the strings created. So I think the coaches and you know, people involved in tennis kind of have a responsibility to educate the consumers. I'll see kids walk into a pro shop and say, "Hey, give me that you know, Luxalong Big Banger at basically 55 pounds," and he's a 10-year-old. And obviously people have become a little bit more aware, but how many people have to suffer at the hands of, like, making poor choices to kind of know you got to string lighter, maybe you don't go to full poly when you're, like, under 12. And, you know, so I think that it's relative and, you know, parents should definitely, you know, consult with some of the coaches in terms of getting information about that, about the equipment, and not just be swayed by the big marketing of the giants and or they're just fascinated by what, you know, what racket Federer or Nadal is using, that may not be the something that's good for them at that stage of their development.
Right, and I want to encourage my listeners, too, to go back through the podcast archives and listen to the show we did with Tim Strawn. Tim is a stringing specialist, and he spoke a lot about exactly what you're saying, Richard, and how important it is to take into account the type of string, the tension that it's being strung at, and, you know, the size and weight of the player herself to make sure that we avoid injury. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And, Jerry, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was interrupting you, I think. The conventional wisdom has pointed to you know, string and technique as the cause of a lot of the injury, but, you know, there have been studies done. Actually, you know, Stuart Miller, who's the head of the technical commission of the ITF, he did years of study about string, about technique, and his conclusion was that the biggest cause is racket shock, because even if the string ultimately is going to affect the amount of shock that is going to be transmitted from the racket to the arm, because the string is not touching your hand, it's the racket that's touching the string, and the string that's then the racket that's touching your hand. So, you know, ultimately the string and so forth might make the racket shock higher or lower. But it's really the racket shock that's causing it. That's just one thing I wanted to, you know, add to what Richard was saying.
Yeah.
And I know you guys have done some work with Mark Kovacs as well, and Mark has also been a guest on the show, and, you know, he's an Atlanta guy too. So he and I cross paths pretty often. But maybe you can talk a little more about the work that y'all are doing with Mark and the stuff he's finding out.
Well, Mark is, you know, fantastic and really has been a great supporter. He, as you know, head of the technical sports science director of the USTA for many, many years, you know, he has seen a lot of this epidemic as well. In fact, I think he said that it was quoted that there was 150, over 100 million injuries since the 80s, since the advent of carbon rackets. He recognizes well, you know, well, that there is a big problem and epidemic, and you know, his mission, as is ours, is to, you know, try to, you know, to address that. Health and injury prevention is a large part of his mission, as is ours. So we are, you know, very much aligned in that degree. I can't say, you know, enough about Mark. He's really one of the best people out there in the market and in the industry.
No, if I may say, I mean, yeah, Mark Kovacs, I think, is probably one of our biggest supporters, and is very credible in the sports science community related to tennis. He is the founder of the ITPA, which is the International Tennis Performance Association. Hopefully some of the guests have been familiar with him. Obviously, he's been the head of the sports science and player development, and a lot of what they do is do a lot of research into, you know, all the sports science that's related to tennis. And, you know, I think Mark has even identified that rackets have been a cause. And, I mean, obviously he can be objective enough to say, I need to, you know, support what is best. Because people don't know that Mark suffered, I believe he had a shoulder injury. And as a result, that's how he kind of found his way to the Donnie Zine Corps. And he was able to kind of continue to play. And even at his exhibitions, you know, he's serving, and he's a loyal supporter of the brand. And, you know, we're glad to have somebody like that that recognizes what the product does for the consumers, that it's not just all about performance, but, you know, really, you know, keeping the kids and safe and keeping people in the sport a little longer. Because, to be honest, I play with unfortunately, Jerry, I have to admit, I play with a racket that wasn't a Donnie today because mine were broken and my arm is killing me. So I'm a little disappointed that I didn't have my Donnie today, and I'm suffering as we speak.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear you're hurting, and I totally feel your pain, Richard. So can you guys give us some more specifics about the different rackets available with this technology? And how would a player or a parent or a coach go about deciding which is the proper one for their player?
You want to address that, Richard, or you want me to?
Let me give my opinion. Well, we have a few college players that are using the Pro One line. I think the racket translates well to similar people who use maybe a Prestige or a Wilson Blade. Or maybe a Radical. I would say that the Pro One line is maybe more to develop players, but it has been a very performance-friendly racket. At the same time, you know, with that dampening effect, the Formula line seems to be a great translation to the Babolat rackets. So, I mean, parents can look into saying if my kid is very comfortable with the Babolat feel and they want a bigger head and maybe a little bit more power and a little more forgiving, they could look into that, into trying out the Formula. I mean, Jerry does have a great demo program that he runs primarily through his website, zinecourttennis.com. Jerry, you can,
Yes, and we added a very special racket for those recreational players. It's 114 square inch. It's the world's lightest racket, 8 ounces. It's got a tremendous amount of power tremendous amount of control. The problem with the oversized light rackets in the past have been you get a lot of power, but, you know, there's a lot of shock coming from the racket, and you don't have any control. The big difference with our 114 is that although it's super, super light, you get a tremendous amount of power, you also get a tremendous amount of control. When you have a big empty void in the shaft, that's what causes the loss of control. That's why the bigger the shaft and wider the frame, the more loss of control you generally get. But without, because the iRack is a solid core, even though it's a big it's a wide beam, you don't lose control. So I got a couple of professionals even saying that, oh, you know what, I think I can play with this racket. I want to switch to it. And so I play with it now, and it's effortless because you're carrying around, you know, very, very little weight, or almost, you know, very nominal weight, and it's very easy to maneuver. I don't think I've missed a ball at the net since I've been playing with that racket. You got a big, huge space to hit in, and you get a lot of control. So that's we think is going to be a winner for us, the 114. And as the game evolves into shorter swings, you know, the prior generation, you would be using a smaller head from 93 to 95, 13-ounce pro staff, to now it's trended towards a 100-square-inch, 10.5-ounce racket in a Babolat Pure Drive. Hopefully, the next thing would be 114 square inches and an 8-ounce racket, where a lot of players can use that.
It's funny because when I started back playing tennis as an adult and had to go out and buy a racket, you know, my instinct was to buy a lighter racket. And then I started hearing, oh, if you buy a racket that's too light, then you're going to develop tendonitis in your elbow and your shoulder, and you're going to be out, and so you want a heavier racket. But it sounds like with this new technology, you guys have found a way to marry the comfort of a light racket with the injury prevention and the, like you said, the control of the added weight, without doing the damage. And I wonder if that's going to kind of trickle down to use in the junior game. I think it would be great. There's nothing worse than hearing about a junior player being out with injury. And I went through it multiple times with my kid, and, you know, it's just painful to watch. I mean, you know, emotionally painful to watch, physically painful for the kid, of course. And so whatever we can do to help prevent that is fantastic. That said, even with the proper racket, again, the string technology has to come into consideration, as does proper stroke technique. So for the coaches listening, you guys are not off the hook.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that point. I think, you know, maybe I, fortunately for me, I haven't had too many kids that have had serious injuries. You know, as tennis players, we tend to have like little minor injuries that we tend to recoup from. But, you know, after being involved with Zine Corps, one of the things that I suggested to Jay was trying to establish something where we continue to educate people about that they need to look into their stroke development as well, that it's not just based on just performance. Because I see kids, I'm like, oh, I don't know, I just think that's a disaster ready to happen. I know that overuse is that if there's a strong likelihood with, you know, poor mechanics, that there is a strong likelihood for injuries. I think people tend to become very receptive when they're dealing with injuries, when it comes to the product. Unfortunately, that's when people want to hear, and they tend to try the product and like it. But Jerry can tell you about countless stories of players that have injuries they can't get past, and the only racket they've been able to continue to play with has been one of the Donnie Zine Corps line rackets. I find that, you know, that as coaches programs, they don't pay enough attention to, especially competitive juniors, you know, that they are paying attention to the mechanics, which does attribute to, like what Jerry says, racket shock, you know, how much force or whatever a certain joint or especially in the serve is the part that I tell parents to be most critical of, because there's a lot of sometimes the overuse of the shoulder in the lower back, and that the, you know, the rotator cuff is obviously the Achilles heel of most tennis players, you know, because the use it takes during competition.
Yes, I'll just add to
Go ahead, Jerry.
I'll just concur in that we get testimonials every single day. My kid's the only one on his college team that doesn't need surgery. Thank you. You know, now I can throw a baseball after all these years. I can brush my teeth after I play tennis. So, you know, every single day we get these testimonials, and how a lot of players are able to play through their injury without, you know, going to the medical venues or without surgery. And I think that's, you know, that's the idea. And then I'll also add something about the stability of the rackets you mentioned before. Yes, we're able to, in the past, because all rackets are pretty much made the same way, the only way to add stability was to add weight to the racket. The higher the weight, the more, you know, stable it is. So professionals, you know, who are getting 120, 30 mile-an-hour serves, the only way to really have a stable racket is to have a heavy racket. Well, with our multi-core technology, one of the big attributes is that we can create stability even in a lightweight racket. That's one of the additional attributes of ZeneCore.
Great. So let's give parents and the other listeners some practical information here about where they can try out these rackets. Do you guys have junior sponsorships that you offer? Do you have package deals that you offer to academies? What is the best way for a player or a coach to get involved with Donnie ZeneCore?
Well, we have a good online program where and sponsorship packages. You can apply to get partial or full sponsorships on our website, ZeneCoreTennis.com. And that's also where you can, you know, order, you know, free trials, demos, and then if you wanted to get more involved with on a dealer level or an academy level, it's, you know, best to you know, email our service at zenecore.com, and we'll you know, arrange get some demos out to, you know, and then start a relationship.
Fantastic. And I'll have a link to that website on parentingaces.com on our links page this afternoon. So for those of you listening, if you can't find the website, just go on our links page and it'll be there. And let me just point out, it's ZeneCore with an X. So for those of you trying to figure out how to spell it, it is with an X. Richard, did you want to expand on that from the coaching side?
Yeah, I mean, they have a player package form. I think the rackets have been very well received with, you know, college, a lot of the college coaches that I don't want to necessarily put them, you know, put them on blast or use them. That have a couple of Division I schools are using the rackets. You know, some of the players have found that the performance of the rackets, you know, measure up to some of the big name rackets there, and obviously with the added safety measures behind it, I think that a lot of coaches, you know, have found that it keeps their players on the court. And as college coaches, the last thing they need is another top player that's injured. You know, obviously we know we are competing with the big brands, and players are lifetime players of other brands, but you know, once we get the rackets in the hands of certain players, they tend to really gravitate towards it. And I myself am using one of the Donnie rackets. I have a couple kids. I mean, and the juniors are always very receptive, you know, after doing the injury. When, you know, when pain sets in and the threshold isn't there and they have the opportunity to try something that's gonna ease the pain. You know, we all take, you know, I guess, cough medicine when we have a bad cough, and no matter how bad it tastes. I'm not going to say the racket plays, but the racket plays well. So I think, it, like you said, it coupled performance and comfort in one, which is and safety. So I think that's three major points that I think is really great about the Donnie ZeneCore. I think we neglected to mention that, you know, the racket was, a few years back, very well received in the Pro Tour. You know, James Blake was a Donnie user, Bethany Maddox-Sands. We've had some other players that have been experimenting with some of prototype rackets. You know, allegedly Roddick has been trade testing in one of our rackets in an effort to protect his shoulder. But like I said, allegedly. And then, I don't want to get too long.
That's fantastic. Donnie was popular when I was a kid. I mean, it's funny to see the brand reemerge. And, you know, in this crazy world of tennis where it's, you know, such a small world for such a global sport, it's nice to see the name back out there. So kudos to you guys for doing the hard work to get the brand recognition again.
Thank you.
Lisa, may I ask a question? What, as far as from a personal level, your son, did your son deal with any arm-related injuries? I mean, I'm sure as players, you know, with movements, we're going to twist ankles, tear muscles, groin strains, but anything related to the arm, the shoulder, wrist?
No, for him, it was always a low back thing. So, you know, that was one of the things he dealt with. But I certainly, you know, I hear from parents all the time whose kid has gotten injured. And again, as an adult player, you know, I go out on the court, on the doubles court, and I'm the only one out there without an arm brace and a knee brace most of the time. So, you know, I'm at the age, I'm not going to disclose the exact number, but I'm at the age where more often than not, I'm on the court with players who are a little disabled. But that said, I think as a parent, and again, that's why I was so happy to have you guys come on today, you know, there's this challenge of keeping our kids healthy out there, but at the same time, making sure they're getting the right number of hours on the court, the right number of hours in off-court training, that their equipment is the right, you know, the right choice for them, that their shoes fit properly. You know, there are just so many moving parts to this whole junior tennis thing. And unfortunately, there are a lot of junior coaches out there that, for whatever reason, don't have the knowledge to keep our kids healthy all the time. And, you know, I rag on coaches a lot. So, Richard, you know, forgive me for that. But I've just seen too many instances where coaches are either giving wrong information or they just don't have the knowledge. And so parents are left kind of flailing in this vast universe of choice. And oftentimes, the final decision comes down to what a favorite player is wearing or using, as y'all, you know, you acknowledged and understand. So I feel like the more education we can provide to the parents, the better off our kids are going to be long term. And, you know, this message comes across pretty much every week on this show that what we all really want for our kids is for them to be lifetime players, right? Where most of us are not delusional enough to think that our kid's going to be the next Andy Murray or Serena Williams. I mean, you know, we get that that their competitive years are going to move more into a recreational level as they get older. So how do we keep them healthy? And these injuries that happen in the junior years can, if not addressed, can develop into these long-term permanent injuries that, like you said, you know, y'all have people calling you and telling you, oh my gosh, I can throw a baseball again. I mean, how awesome is that, you know, for an adult to be able to come back to something that they loved in their youth but were kept from because of injury?
Yeah. I concur in everything you said. You know, you mentioned the lower back. I think that that's the number one exercise a tennis a child and everyone playing tennis should be doing is a reverse hyperextension. But I seldom find a hyperextension machine in any tennis gym. So I wonder, you know, why that isn't promoted more. And also stretching. You know, my daughter goes out and I like everyone just starts playing. I was like, how come nobody stretches? And it's another way to prevent injury. So prevention is the key. It, you know, it's how to prevent and create longevity. And it's those things I think that definitely need to be addressed more. I think, you know, when you or a child or anyone, you know, plays a long period of time. And I think, you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, vitamin C and, you know, alkaline water and all antioxidants. So, you know, everything from eating to prevention to exercise to stretching, it's all part of longevity. I agree.
Well, I think it's very interesting that, you know, tennis has been really behind the curve in terms of technology and using technology to grow the sport. And only in the last really couple of years have we started to see this boom in tennis technology, not just in equipment, but also in stats and video analysis, I mean, all sorts of stuff. And, you know, I've had plenty of people on this show talking about, you know, pieces that go into the butt of the racket or dampeners that collect stats. There have been all kinds of really cool developments in recent years. But you haven't heard the racket manufacturers talk about injury prevention in terms of what they're doing on the technology side. And so this is very refreshing to me to hear Donnie really kind of leading the charge with this specific conversation of how can we keep our players healthy using our racket? What is it that we need to change to help them stay on the court for more years? And healthy players are on the court. Players that are on the court are spending money. If they're spending money, that grows the sport and the industry. So it's a win all around.
So, I mean, if I, you know, one analogy, comparison I came up with was we can't necessarily expect the manufacturers to kind of, you know, blow the whistle on themselves, in terms of racket shock level and so forth, because many of the tennis consumers are very much performance-based. You know, everything, you look at the strings or you look at the rackets, it's all about the power to spin. You know, you might have a comfort rating on a string, but no one really looks at that number. You know, they did away with that for height for you for a while because nobody cared what the comfort rating was unless it was an older player. We are always a little bit very much in the performance base. I was watching the movie Concussion a few months ago, and it's kind of like the same thing. I mean, the expectation, they're aware. I mean, but does the NFL want to acknowledge that, you know, concussion exists and that, you know, brain trauma was causing the players to have short lifespans. I mean, it's obviously not that severe with tennis because these are, like, you know, class C, like, injuries. But, you know, I think we've kind of made that our mission because, you know, we made a product that is beneficial for performance. At the same time, it's just a little safer. Now, it's not just a ploy, but it's an actual reality. One thing that the consumers and parents aren't aware of is that the rackets the pros use and not the ones you're buying in the store. You know,
right.
I can tell you that firsthand. If you ever grab a pro stock racket, it's totally different. A lot of times there's paint jobs. They're using older model rackets. They don't change rackets in anywhere near the amount of times that you think they are. We all want the new thing, but it's, you know, I might get hammered away by saying this, or just, you know, but I've seen it, and some of these rackets, some players have their rackets injected with foam aftermarket, and that's something people aren't aware of, that they actually produce something similar by injecting foam into the rackets after production, which gives it a little bit more of that dampening effect. But it's very difficult to do that and maintain, you know, a lower weight without necessarily Zincor's patented technology, which is where we come into play.
Interesting. And, yeah, I mean, we've talked about that a bunch on this show, too, the fact that the racket you're buying in your local pro shop is not the identical racket that your favorite pro is playing with out there. And, you know, that when Tim Strong was on the show, he talked a lot about lead tape and, you know, shaving grips and all kinds of modifications that can be made to rackets to personalize them to the player. But let's face it, you know, not every junior is going to have access to someone who has the knowledge and the technical ability to make those modifications. So the general tennis playing public, and I include junior players in that group, you know, we're at the mercy of what is on the shelf. And so we have to be educated about what effect weight has, what effect string has, string tension, grip size. All of these things impact proper biomechanics, and these are the things that Mark Kovacs is looking at. These are the things that Dr. J is looking at, and, you know, that hopefully more manufacturers will join the bandwagon that Donne has created here and do their part to help keep players healthy. And I just think you guys you're doing a real service to the industry, and as a parent, I thank you. I think it's fantastic, and, you know, my hope is that every kid that ever picks up a racket continues picking up that racket until, you know, they're 80, 90 years old. I think that's the goal for all of us, and it's only gonna improve the industry overall if that happens.
Yes, we hope that the USTA and the ITF could partner in the same mission. Maybe eventually over time that could happen. Mark is actually holding a very big convention in July at Life University that holds it every year. So I definitely encourage anyone who wants to get more educated about the biomechanics and health and safety related issues to attend that conference. We'll be down there as well. Perhaps if you're going to cover it, perhaps we can see you as well over there. But yes,
we definitely need to meet up for a cup of coffee, if nothing else.
Okay.
You will be in my neck of the woods for sure. Yeah, I mean, again, I put the onus on the parents. We are responsible for our kids' health and well-being out there. Ultimately, it falls on us to make sure that they're making the right choices, and, you know, that we get educated. And so the fact that, Jerry, that you and Richard are willing to come and talk about these technological developments that are going on in the racket industry, it's very helpful. And, you know, I hope that as more developments happen on your end, that you'll reach out to me and come back on and share them, or send me press releases that I can post on parentingaces.com. And, you know, that way we can keep our readers at least abreast of what's going on in the industry.
We're happy to do so. And we're going to start releasing some things that would promote the idea of a health mission, perhaps some, you know, free dampeners, free vitamin C, free frame dampeners, and other things that at certain events, and maybe even on our website, we're going to have these free products just to build awareness on the health mission, because we found that the numbers were quite staggering. Over 70% of children in intensive training programs, suffered, some kind of injury before they were 16, many of them needing surgery. The hospitals of Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, they were doing hundreds of surgeries on tennis kids every year. It is, the kids are much more vulnerable because their bodies are just growing. There was a 2009 Newsweek article where Newsweek interviewed Martina Navratilova. The article is called "Sidelined in Their Prime." It basically talks about being sidelined when you're just starting, it is a grave concern. And we just hope that the governing bodies, take this more into consideration. The USTA, the ITF, and we're always happy to partner with maybe even certain regions of that, so we can get that the message out and the mission. We get somewhere with the mission.
That's great. Yeah, I would love to stay in touch with you guys, and maybe we can come up with a list of tournaments, where you guys could have a presence. One of the things that tends to happen with our governing bodies is they focus on the big national events with the top level players, and really where people need the outreach is at the entry level events. You know, when they're just starting in the sport, that's where they need the education. And so I would hope that you guys would reach out to more entry level tournaments and tournament directors and, you know, try to catch these families early on before they've already spent $500 on rackets for their kids without having the benefit of understanding how those choices are going to impact their child down the line.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Well, yeah. So, guys, thank you so much. Is there anything else? We're down to our last couple minutes. I didn't know if there was anything else y'all wanted to throw out there, website, contact information, resources for our listeners.
Yeah, I would just encourage the parents to kind of, if they're looking to, expand their knowledge of sports science related to, tennis players, very tennis-specific, check out the ITPA. I think it's ITPA.org. Mark Kovacs is a very credible guy. The Rackets, Zine Court Tennis, we're on Facebook. We're still active on Twitter. You can follow us there. And anything else, Jerry?
Yeah, feel free to email me, Jerry, at Jerry at zinecore.com with an X. Or you can call in. We have a toll-free number, 1-877-DONNA-7 is our toll-free number. And so any other questions or concerns, we'll be happy to answer them.
Yeah, and if anyone's in, like, for example, the New York, New Jersey area and wants to swing by and to check out the Rackets, or they have a junior player that, maybe dealing with some injury-related issues or injury issues, and, they want to have the players looked at from a technical perspective or even equipment, they can check. They can visit me on my website as well. It's performtennis.com. If you're in the area or maybe during the Open, I'm usually in the area, if not on the court. But, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you guys both so much for being with us today and sharing this information with the Parenting Aces audience. I learned a lot. I always learn a lot from my guests. So thank you for adding to my own personal body of knowledge, too. And I look forward to seeing that Donna logo out there a lot more, especially at these junior tournaments. Parents, check it out. Go to Donnie's website, go to zinecoretennis.com and get information there. And as I mentioned before, links to all of these sites will be on parentingaces.com on our links page. So take a look. Guys, thank you again. I hope you are having better tennis weather than we're having in Atlanta today. I don't know. My mixed doubles team is headed into the playoffs this weekend, and I haven't been able to get out on the court because it's been raining so much. So I'm a little worried about how that's going to go on Saturday.
Well, good luck on that. We're getting warmer weather here, so hopefully it'll continue. And thanks for having us.
Thanks again. To my listeners, thanks so much for tuning in this week. I hope you have a great week out on the court. Stay healthy out there, and we'll see you next week on Parenting Aces.
Okay, bye.